morning. Welcome, everyone. It's good to be here this morning. And the Super Bowl is tonight. That would be a big deal if I was in America, but who cares? It's good to be together this morning. As a church, we've been looking at the idea of being joyful in hope, and how hope, and it's very just by itself, even can bring about a difference in our lives, where even in difficult times, we can have joy because of a hope that brings us joy. And there's a book by a guy, Viktor Frankl, and it's called Man's Search for Meaning. And in the book, he records his experience in a Nazi Holocaust internment camp, Auschwitz. And he observes, he's actually a psychiatrist, and he's worked out a path, like his own system of psychology, actually, before he went into Auschwitz. And then he's observing and making observations as he's there and really intent on noticing human behavior. And what he's looking at is two groups of people. One of the men who know that their family has died. And then the other group of men who don't know, aren't certain, but there's a possibility, there's a chance that their family could be alive. And how those two groups of men experience the same situation differently. The one group of men who know that there's nobody on the other side of the gate, of the fence, you know, that their family has passed away. Those guys don't really stand a chance. They lose hope, and then they give up, and they don't make it through the experience. But the guys who think that possibly their family is out there are incredibly resilient. And even in these really harsh and cruel circumstances, can still find some sort of inner motivation to keep going when they're trudging through the snow and almost bare feet, trying to do this labor that they've been assigned to do, can still keep on going. And so it shows and it illustrates very vividly the difference that hope can make in the most difficult of circumstances. And none of us are in something like that. I appreciate what Rick shared and hearing the tough times that he's going through. And even him that raising that issue that all of us are going through some sort of hard time. And maybe it's being a really particularly challenging situation. But then maybe it's just boredom. Maybe you just feel a little bit bored with your life. Or maybe you feel a little bit lonely. So I think there's a bit different types of sufferings at different stages of our life. But if we have a hope, there's a quote from the book, which is, "He who knows the why for his existence will be able to bear almost any how." So if we have a hope, we can bear with almost any how. And as Jesus was preparing to leave the earth, his disciples were anticipating being left alone, facing much opposition, and not really knowing what to do. So Jesus tries to motivate them. And we're going to look at a passage in John 14. In John 14, starting at verse 1, Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." And so Jesus says this to the disciples, and he tries to give them hope for when he leaves, that they have something to look forward to, something to get them through. And he says, "I'm going ahead, I'm going to prepare a place for you in my Father's house, which has many rooms, and then I'm going to come back and get you. So all you need to do is just follow me, and then I'll come and I'll take you to where I am." And this is the hope that he puts in their minds, that they'll think, okay, I'm just following Jesus. One day he's going to come, he's going to get me, and he's going to take me to this tremendous place that he's put all of his time and attention and probably detail into preparing just for me. Which sounds great, this house with many rooms. I had a friend, Matty, when I was a kid, and his house had many rooms. He was kind of wealthy. To give you a little bit more detail, our family would go on vacation, we'd take their son with us, and so we'd go camping for a week, and he could share, you know, his part of the tent. You know, he could share a part of our tent, we'd go camping, and we'd take him on a holiday. His family would take me and my little brother on a holiday, and we'd go to Disneyland, California Adventure, and that would be the trade-off. Which was but in Maddie's house were many rooms. There was one room with the projector and all the movies that we could watch, or one, and then also a snack room, and then at the country club there was a room with all the free grilled cheese sandwiches that you wanted to order after swimming in the pool. So there's many rooms associated with Maddie and his house and his country club, which I remember very fondly. But when you think about a house that God has prepared with many rooms, if Jesus says there's many rooms in God's house, that's probably a lot bigger and more glorious even than Maddie's house. And this is the hope that Jesus gives us as well. That if we follow him, then he's going to come back and take us to where he is. And I proposed to Sarah the idea of doing a sermon on the topic of heaven. And I said, what do you think? And she said, And I said, well, why the response? She's like, I don't know what you're going to say that I don't know already about heaven. And I was like, okay, yeah, fair enough. I said, well, do you look forward to it?
I don't know.
And she said, no, I look forward to being with God, but I don't really look forward to heaven, you know, per se, heaven. I look forward to being in with God. And so I took my sample size of one, and then I extrapolated. And I figured it'd probably be a good topic for the lesson, because I think it's actually more common. That's how I thought as well at one point. Like, I don't actually want to be presumptuous. I don't want to look forward. I don't want to be so kind of simple as to look for, and kind of materialistic as to look forward to a house or a place or being somewhere. Just God, just me and God in a spiritual essence relationship is all I want to look forward to, because anything else, it seems almost unspiritual. So we're going to kind of look at what the Bible does say about heaven. Because if the Bible gives us any sort of inclination or idea of what it might be like, I think it's because God thought these people are probably going to need something to hope in. They're going to go through a hard time 2,000 years later where faith is diminishing and there's an onslaught of attacks by new atheists and things like this. Maybe these people will need a hope to get them through the difficult times. So we're going to look at that. And the first thing that we're going to look at, also, I think sometimes our idea of heaven is formed more by like Renaissance paintings of cherubim on clouds than by the Bible. It's just hard to look forward to being on a cloud. And so we're going to get some biblical context for the whole concept of heaven. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And at the beginning of 1 Corinthians 15, Paul is giving a defense for the resurrection, which some of you right now are probably kind of skeptical about, this whole idea of heaven. Why would you believe in this? This is the type of stuff little kids look forward to. And then you tell them their dog went to heaven, but they're not totally crushed by Fluffy getting run over. But in 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 1, Paul gives a defense for why they think that Jesus was raised. And he doesn't say because it gives us hope, actually. He says because it actually happened. And then subsequently that is